certainly good, as Brother Bill mentioned, to have opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to enjoy one another's company, to talk about the things that have been going on in our life. And of course, each of us recognize that that is not the main reason why we are here, but we are appreciative of the opportunity for such things. We're here to worship God. We're here to fellowship with Him. And as we fellowship with Him, we fellowship together. That's one of the points that John is making there in the first chapter of that epistle, 1 John, is that when we work together with God, we work together with one another, and we work together with the apostles. And I want us to look this morning about the fact that the things that John wrote, the things that Peter wrote, the things that Paul wrote, Luke, James, Jude, all of those others who contributed to the Scriptures, I guess we could go on back to Moses and the prophets and priests who did the writings, the scribes and all of those. When we give attention to those, we can have confidence that we are drawing nearer to God. We are coming closer to Him in all that we are doing, because their word came from God. And that's what makes the Bible reliable. We want to talk a little bit this morning about standards and the importance of standards from the focus, or our latter focus in the lesson actually will be a reliable standard. And you all already know where I'm going with that. But one of the reasons for this is there are so many different standards in the world. I was reading an article just the other day that says the United States is shrinking. Our mountains are getting shorter. Sea level's changing. You know why? They're changing the standard by which they measure. Some kind of GPS with some kind of gravity quotient added in there. They lost me when they started measuring things with gravity, so I didn't get very far in understanding. But their point was, using this new standard, a lot of our landmarks, like this is the highest point in the state of Arkansas, may change. In fact, from the way they talked, this new standard might make a mountain that was this tall actually be shorter than a mountain that was this tall. Now, I may have misunderstood what they were saying. Don't get me wrong. But it's changing because the standards change. And that's just evident of many of the things in our life. The standard for a kilo, just a few years ago, they were all upset because the little thing they have that's supposed to be the standard measurement for a kilo isn't as heavy as it used to be. It lost some of its mass, they said. There again, you're getting into sciencey things, weight, mass, there's difference, but don't ask me to explain what the difference is. But they were having to create a new device that would be the standard for the kilo, because over time, this device didn't weigh as much as it used to. Why? Because it's a man-made standard. Did you know that if you measure one board with this tape measure when you cut it, and you pick up another tape measure somewhere else to measure the next board, your two boards may not be the same length? In fact, I didn't think about it until this morning. I did take a picture. I've got two metal rulers, and when you line them up at the zero point, when you get to the 12-inch point, there's about a 16th to an 8th of an inch difference between where the 12-inch marker is on the good ruler and the 12-inch marker is on the Dollar Tree ruler that I've got. Because human standards are not reliable. They change. They're adjusted. And in the same way, we recognize and understand that standards for behavior that are human standards, worldly standards, are not reliable. One of the standards that many people want to look to is a standard that is going to change among each individual person, and each person's standard will change with time, because a lot of people want to say, what determines what's best for me to do is how I feel about it. And I can guarantee you that your feelings on a particular thing today are somewhat different than they were on that same particular thing 23. Well, some of you can't go that far back, but some of you can go 60 or 70 years back. You don't feel the same way. If nothing else, just look at the difference you have in your friends, people that you associate with or that you call great friends. Sometimes, even though we still have the same person as a best friend, our feelings toward them have adjusted and changed through the years because we have changed. Feelings are not a reliable measure. They're not a reliable standard. The proverb writer told us that long ago. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way of death. We can't feel our way to develop a standard because feelings change. They're unreliable. Some want to say, well, my conscience is my guide. And it doesn't take much looking around or thinking back in our life to where we can recognize that one ain't going to work either. It's no more accurate than our feelings. In fact, to some degree, it's inaccurate because our feelings get in the way of our conscience guiding us from time to time. Paul told the Jewish council, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience up to this day. That includes when he held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. That includes when he took those who were serving Christ and brought them to be put into prison, knowing that very likely at least some of them would lose their lives. I've lived before God in all good conscience unto this day. It also includes the preaching and teaching he had done for the cause of Christ. Because our conscience is not a reliable standard. It changes. Others, instead of using the terms feelings and conscience, use the idea of common sense. Now, I'll tell you right now, I wish more people had common sense. I think we'd be a lot better off if we were living, at least to some degree, using the common sense that we have. The things that we understand ought not to be done, we shouldn't do. The things we understand ought to be done, we should do. But common sense in and of itself is not a proper and reliable standard or guide. Just like conscience, just like feelings, it changes and adjusts. What's common sense to me living here in central, southwest, central, something, in Arkansas, may not be common sense to somebody that lives in, say, North Dakota or Manitoba. Don't ask me where that's at. I think it's in Canada, but I'm not sure. What's common sense to me living here in the middle of the United States would not be common sense necessarily to somebody who lives in the middle of India. Changes. Common sense. Jeremiah kind of deals with it when he says, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in itself. It's not in the way of man. It's not in man himself to direct his own steps. We are not good guides. We are not a proper standard. No matter how well trained our conscience is, no matter how sensitive we are to what's going on around us, no matter how common an understanding we have with all the other people around us, we are not a standard. I mean, even the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We also recognize that there are those who are following after visions. Even today, we have those who say, and I use visions in the term of they receive some sort of special message. We have those who tell us that God's still talking to them. Sometimes it's in some sort of trance they may be in. Maybe it's while they're meditating. Maybe it's while they're reading. Maybe it's when they wake up in the morning, they hear something. God's talking to me. Well, we've all heard the story about the woman that decided God was talking to her through her Bible reading, and she opened it up. And then she opened it up somewhere else. And then she opened it up somewhere else because she didn't like what she was seeing. The version I heard, she opened up, Judas went out and hanged himself. And then she opened up again, what you do, do quickly. But we have people who honestly believe they're receiving messages from God. Well, Paul had that problem with his brethren over in Galatia. They were listening to men who were claiming to hear messages from God, different from what had been received, what had already been taught. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he said, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed." Note there what Paul said. If me or an angel from heaven, Paul said there will be no more visions from God. At least no different visions. God is not going to speak to us in visions. When Paul was giving instruction to the Corinthian brethren regarding their words from the Spirit, he said, "Be careful. Make sure you've got somebody to interpret what you're saying." But also, the warning is there that they need to make sure that the words that are being said are in agreement with what had already been taught. The Corinthian brethren were not going to get a new revelation. That's part of what he says when he talks about the covering later on in the book. When he tells them, that's not the way it is in the churches of Christ. You haven't received something of your own. It didn't come to you alone. It came to everyone. The same thing to all. Visions are unreliable. Even the apostles were not crazy about a vision that came only to one individual without anybody else receiving any verification. Even when we look at the vision that Peter received on the housetop of Simon the Tanner, we see that that vision is verified by the things that happened to Cornelius. Visions are not going to be happening today. They are not a standard. Another problem that we have with false standards, changing standards, are the formal creeds of men. Those religious writings that have been put down through the ages, we made mention before that many of them have changed. Is it the Methodists that's in the process of changing theirs all around so they can split up into two groups right now? Because one group wants to move into the progressive area and the other group wants to stay like they were? You think there'll be a few changes in their creeds? Yes, there would. Whether those creeds are written or not, we see that they have adjusted and changed over the years. There are those who accepted the support of orphans' homes into the work of the Lord's church, who would have never thought of adding mechanical instruments to their worship, yet now they are. Some of the very same congregations that stood against those things decades ago are now embracing them and making them a part. Why? Because when creeds are based on the doctrines of men, they're not reliable. Jesus rebuked the Jews for teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In Titus chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, "This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth." In other words, Titus, stop those human creeds from spreading because they're not reliable. They're not useful. They're not helpful. And then, of course, along a similar line, we have the religious traditions. Peter tells us that we were ransomed from the feudal ways inherited from your forefathers. We were bought out of that kind of service, following after the traditions and teachings of our fathers. Certainly his emphasis is on what we were purchased with, the precious blood of Christ. But in making that statement, he emphasizes we were bought out of that. When we were bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we've come out of those human traditions, the religious ideas and thoughts of men. Why? Because they are unreliable. And that's not to even include the idea of double standards that seem to be all prevalent in our world today. One group of people follows one set of rules and makes everybody else follow a different set of rules. And you can apply that to whichever group you want to. The standards and teachings of men are unreliable because they are constantly changing. They're not based on anything that can stand true to the test of time, that can always be there as a consistent standard that can be reliable. Yet there is a standard that is reliable. There is a standard that remains true no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter what society we live in, no matter what age we look at. The standard of God's Word is always the same. God expects the same thing of kings that He expects of temple sweepers. He expects the same things of Americans that He expects of Canadians and all those other Ians that there are across the world. God's standard is the same no matter what, and it has always been the same. There is no change. Jesus told His apostles in Matthew chapter 28, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." And that statement is still as valid, is still as accurate as it was the day that Jesus made it. He still has all power in heaven and in earth. And He will always have all power in heaven and in earth until He returns His kingdom back to the Father who gave it to Him in the end of time. That will not change. We think of our nation as being a nation that's always been the same, but it doesn't take much looking to recognize that it has adjusted from time to time through the years based on who was in charge. All of us can see changes from one election to the next sometimes, whether we're talking about nationwide or in our local city. Christ is still the supreme ruler, just like He was then. And He's the one that handed down the message that we follow. That's why the Bible's reliable, because it came from God through Christ. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. And I decided to put that verse in my outline in the King James Version so I wouldn't stumble over it like I do sometimes, because that's the way I learned it. God speaks to us through His Son, just like He did when Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's a reminder that God's Word, the Bible, is from God, and therefore it is reliable. It was first spoken John talks about hearing the word in 1 John there that was read for us this morning. We read in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Jesus giving instruction to his apostles. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The spoken word from God was delivered to the apostles. They literally heard it from God's Spirit. That's how reliable it is. And it was written down, as Brother Bill read for us, "I write these things so that our joy may be complete." In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, "My little children, these things I write to you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And we've looked in other lessons that this series of scriptures here, as well as many others, show us the pathway by which we receive the Word of God. God gave it to the Spirit through the instruction and request of Christ, who gave it to the apostles. And the apostles gave it to the first century and then wrote it down so that it could be handed down to us today. And we have today what was written by the apostles and inspired writers. It's been preserved for us. We've talked about how Peter makes mention of that in his epistle when he says, "I'm going to keep reminding you of the things that you already know. And because I'm so concerned about that, and I know I'm not going to live forever," I'm paraphrasing a little bit in case you didn't notice, "I'm going to make sure it's listed in a form that you can always be reminded of it." And thus we have 1st and 2nd Peter. We have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We have Romans and Revelations and the Corinthian letters and the Colossian letter and all of those other letters, so that we can read them and know the will of God. Paul told the Colossian brethren, "When this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea." Sometimes we get caught up in studying the letters, like we are in the 1 Corinthian letter in our Wednesday night class. By the way, we'll be in chapter 6 this Wednesday night. When we read that letter to the Corinthians and we start talking about and discussing it, we talk about how Paul was writing about problems that church had and dealing with those problems. And there's a lot of personal problems and things that were unique to the city of Corinth at that particular time. But let's not forget, those were written, yes, to those churches to deal with their problems, but they were to be preserved and shared among the brethren, so that the principles that are taught in those letters could be used elsewhere. We don't have the exact same problems that the church in Corinth had. Yet, we can learn so much from what Paul gave instruction to the Corinthians in that letter to help us in our own struggles to be unified, to be keeping ourselves free from the old leaven, to keep ourselves focused on what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's why we keep turning to those passages, because they've been preserved for our use. They were written down so we would have a reliable standard. And I'm convinced that God wrote them down so they would not be hearsay. We don't have a Peter told Barnabas, told Mark, told so-and-so all the way down through the ages until it came to Dan. We have a Peter wrote this down, and we still have it. We spent time before looking at the accuracy of the New Testament Scripture and how we can take this text and we can get an expert in another language, because I don't think any of us are experts in Greek. But we can compare what this says to what the original Greek said, and we can know that what we have is the same thing Peter wrote, the same thing John wrote. That makes it a reliable standard that never changes, because it came from God and was preserved in such a way that we can trust it. It's also reliable because it is perfect. And I mean perfect in both means. perfect as in there is no fault in it, and perfect as in it is complete. The psalmist says the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure or certain, making wise the simple. And Paul tells us, as we continue there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 with verse 17, that the Scripture inspired or breathed out by God is so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Not just equipped for good works, not just equipped for most good works, but complete, finished, filled up with all the things he needs so that he can do every single good work that needs to be done. And Jude references it as the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. All given. All preserved. All from the mouth of God. It's reliable. We can trust it. And we need to exercise ourselves in the knowledge and understanding that it is a standard for all parts of our existence. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because just a few weeks ago we talked about how the Bible was relevant. And we touched on these things in a little more detail. But I do want to look at a few things this morning as we... Well, if I say as we come to the close, somebody's going to think, yeah, he preached for another 15 minutes and he wasn't closing. But in this part of the lesson, I want us to note that it's a standard that is useful in every aspect of life. In our social interactions, we can go to the Word of God and know how we ought to deal with our fellow man. Whether we're talking about our family, or we're talking about our brethren, or we're talking about our neighbors, or we're talking about the hoodlums that are in our world. The Bible tells us how to deal with them. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Notice, that passage in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12 does not say whatever you wish that good folks would do. Or whatever you wish that others would do to you, do that to all the folks that are nice to you. Or do that to all the folks that aren't bad. It says, do that unto them. Other people includes everybody. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Maybe we don't get that point from what Jesus says there in Matthew, so let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 15, and y'all are going to recognize this as a familiar passage. I made reference to it a few times. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That passage covers just about every interaction we will ever have with anybody. And you know what it tells us? Treat them the way you want to be treated. Treat them the way God treats everyone. Have compassion, have mercy, have love. Exercise justice. Be righteous. Never think yourself better than others. Oh, that fits in so many areas of our day-to-day life. It teaches us how to deal with moral issues. It's a perfect standard in regards to that. Again, Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You take note of that last passage there? Paul doesn't just say all these folks are not going to heaven. He says you used to be like that, but you're not now. Why? Because you applied the reliable standard of God's Word to your life. Because you were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You listen to the Word. The Word will take us out of those things. The Word will make us righteous. If we make it the guide in our life, because it is a reliable standard. And let me just throw this out there. We're going to be looking at that verse, those verses Wednesday night. I'm pretty sure we'll at least get to verse 11. So if you want to talk about that some more, consider that some more, got some insight, Wednesday night would be a perfect time to come and we can all talk about it together. Okay, I'll stop doing ads for Wednesday night. We recognize the Bible as our guide in worship. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth, for God is seeking such to worship Him. John chapter 4 and verse 24 and the surrounding context. It's our guide in worship. It's also our judgment. It's what's going to determine whether we enter into heaven or not. Because it is the law of God that does not change. Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment, we're told, when we use judgment against or with others, or even to ourselves. But more importantly, as Jesus says in John chapter 12 and verse 48, the one that rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. The word of God is reliable. We can trust it. We know that it will always say the same thing. It will never tell us to do this in this situation, and then 3 years down the road in the same situation, it comes back and says, well, we didn't really like that, so this is what we're going to do in this situation. And while they may not use those exact words, that's exactly what the creeds and teachings of mankind have done. That's exactly what so many are trying to do when they try to tell us that we should listen to visions and messages from God today, even though the Word plainly tells us that there's nothing else coming. Because we've got what we need in the Word of God. It's reliable. And it's reliable for every part of our life today. Because no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening, the Word of God is the still and always will be the best place to go for guidance. And it's the only place to go for salvation. Life, trustworthy, and complete. Part of the reason for this lesson is because of some of the things that are going on around us. And there are so many different ideas, so many different thoughts and instructions that we have. And whether we're talking about how to deal with the virus or how to deal with the things that are happening just in this last week. There's so many different ideas about how we ought to deal with that. And you know what? There's only one place we can go to learn the true means, and that's the Word of God. It's reliable in every aspect. Because it's from our Creator. God has given us this Word so that we can come back to Him. He has a desire that all men be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Peter told Cornelius, God is not a respecter of persons, but any man from any nation, from any family, from any time, if he will seek after God and do His will, God will accept it. See, the only specific thing that must be about us
is that we follow God. And the Word tells us how to do that. It tells us to give our lives to Him, to make ourselves slaves, to let Him be our King, be our Lord, as well as our Savior. When we're willing to submit ourselves to God, be obedient to His will, we can get through this life and go to heaven to be with God for all eternity when this life is over. You look this morning and you find you're not following the will of God, change. It's that simple. If you're not following God's will, change. Pray to God asking Him to forgive you. You've never been added to the family of God, it's time to be added to God's family. That can only happen as we change, submit to His will, confess our belief in the Savior, and are buried with Him in baptism so we can rise up with Him to walk in newness of life. If you find a need for change in your life, and you're ready to come to the Lord for the change that will bring peace here on earth and eternity with God, we're here to help and assist in whatever way we can. Why not come when we stand in sanctuary?